Hi, I'm John Johnson, and there once was a man from Madras who had fine balls of brass. In stormy weather, they clanked together and sparks shot out his ass.
Woohoo!
Well, I got some of that. I got some of it, but I missed your intro.
Okay, let's.
Oh,
let's,
the intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just.
We'll just run through it again. I'm so sorry. I can act sometimes.
You can act and press record.
Recording now.
Okay.
Are we recording?
We are recording.
We're recording. So start.
I'm so sorry.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Indie Film Cafe. My name is Paul A. Presenza, and we don't seem to be recording.
Yeah.
Technical difficulties, everybody.
One more time.
I was just going to say, why don't you just get rid of everything?
No, I got it here. Hey everybody, this is Paul A. Presenza, known as the Moo Cow. And we are here at Indie Film Cafe, and I am here with...
Jonathan A. Moody, known as the Blu-ray Hunter.
And we have a special guest star.
Hi, I'm John Johnson. And there's a spot on my butt that is now sentient and wants to know my name. Help me.
Outstanding, sir. And we have gathered together here at the D House in Charlottesville, Virginia, to watch a very special movie celebrating the coming Thanksgiving theme. And we are going into the Wayback Machine for a movie called Blood Freak.
Oh, no.
Blood Freak.
Oh, no.
The infamous Blood Freak, which is a gobbling turkey-headed monster, also combined with a Christian anti-drug scare film.
This is going to hurt.
This is pain.
This is pain.
Oh, my.
In my face.
Pain. And, the folks involved, there's quite an interesting story behind all of that. So,
yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and listen to some of that mood music, and we'll be back. Hey, everybody. We are back. So, Blood Freak, what did you guys think of the movie?
Yeah. Well, as I was saying earlier, it was a movie. Definitely can say that.
This is true.
I feel like I learned something about myself, and I realized that the way you need to talk in movies like The Spaniard, Turkey, is if you talk like this, and then you make it sound like it's gonna be a recording. No, I actually, you know, for what it was, There was enough fun moments that it wasn't as bad as I was thinking it was going to be. I mean, it was bad.
Yes,
don't get me wrong.
Terrible.
It was fucking horrible. But there's enough fun moments that it makes it endearing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing about Indie Film Cafe. We look for incredibly terrible, stinky movies that people need to see, but we stay away from anything boring.
I make a lot of those.
Our phrase is the cardinal sin of bad filmmaking is to be boring.
There has been only one movie in the case of all of Indie Film Cafe that Paul has fallen asleep to.
Oh.
There's been one movie.
What is this film?
This was, and I will reveal it. It was Ankle Biters.
3 feet tall, 2-inch fangs.
It was literally about dwarf vampires, and he still fell asleep.
I know. You think...
Not the movie itself, but just like being sleepy, or?
Well, the problem is you couldn't see it, you couldn't understand what you were hearing, and you had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
So I just eventually started to drift off because I had no idea what was going on. Mm-hmm. The lighting was bad, the sound was bad.
Oh,
it was
gotcha.
Dark.
The lighting was pretty bad in this movie.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this movie.
I mean, there was just blackness at certain
very
times.
Much so.
They're just like, you just imagine what happened.
All right, so I guess I should talk a little bit about this film, give you guys some background, some factoids.
I want it all.
Yes.
Blood Freak was made in 1972 by Brad Grintner. He was the director and writer, and he worked on this project with leading man Steve Hawks.
My man.
Who did some writing and some directing.
Wait, my man.
Brad was the guy that narrated the whole
thing. Brad was also the narrator.
Yes.
Steve Hawks is his cohort in this. He was the guy who played Herschel. Okay?
My man.
So, Brad Grintner is a guy who made some crap in the early 70s. He did a movie called Flesh Feast in 1970. He made a movie called Devil Ride in 1970. And then he made Blood Freak. So this is like his troika of crappy films. He made a couple after that, but he stayed away from horror. God knows why. So these are really the three you want to find, and Blood Freak is the sort of creme de la creme.
I asked you a question, which I've answered myself now. I originally said, is there any good movie that has the word blood in the title? And we thought no, but
blood and black lace.
But I was, Taste the Blood of Dracula.
Oh, okay.
Mm. That's got blood in it. Yeah. But I think if it's two words, blood something, I don't think there's a good one.
There's a movie I own, and I have not watched it. I plan to watch soon. It's called Blood Hook. It's like about a...
Oh, I've seen Blood Hook.
Yeah. Okay. Is that bad?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't
he
seen
has
it.
A giant hook.
I know, but I haven't
fishing.
Seen it, so I can't...
He it's fun.
Yeah.
But he literally fishes people.
Okay.
Of course you do.
Cool.
It's wonderful.
As you do.
Well, this movie, believe it or not, the budget for this was $25,000.
It was all in the film.
Yeah, it was in something.
Well, that's 1972,
though. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, think about it.
They spent it on heroin.
That's kind of a lot of money.
That's probably like $100,000 now.
Seriously. So, yeah, that's up there.
So, the other thing about Brian Grittner is that he's also an actor, and he acted in a couple of movies called Scream Baby Scream. He was in there. And he was in Death Curse of Tartu. So, it was enough that he actually taught acting in college down in Florida. And the majority of those people that you see in this film are actually students of his in the film.
Nice. Hughes. Nice.
So, Anne, who is played by Dana Culver, Angel, who's played by Heather Hughes, Guy, who's played by Larry Wright, these are actually
students.
And you go and you look, and they have no other credits to their name.
Oh, yes, they were brilliant.
Clearly. As far as Steve Hawks goes, of course, he plays Herschel, the goblin turkey-headed monster.
Wonderful.
Your Spanish buddy.
My Spanish buddy.
He was in a bunch of sort of off-brand Spanish Tarzan movies in the 60s and 70s. There's sort of a bunch of knockoffs. And he got himself burned on the set of one of them. He was burned on the set of Tarzan and the Brown Prince. And... The really brown prince. Yeah, he got burns on like 75% of his body. It was really bad. Himself and a co.
That sucks.
Host. And
do we know how it happened?
I'm not 100% sure, but I do know that the film company did not have insurance, and I don't even think they had a license at the time. So they packed their shit and left him there.
God damn.
They went to South America and just kind of left his ass, and he had to find his own way home with all these burns. And so he came back. And
as Darkman
to locate Brad Grittner and then work together in the film, because both of these guys have a history of working in 60s soft porn nudie cutie kinds of stuff.
I want to work in this field.
There's a whole rabbit hole of weirdness there that I don't want to get too deep into, but
hear what he said. He was talking about porn. He said rabbit hole,
right?
Comedy,
weird stuff. But what I can tell you is, after Hawks did that, he, after this particular film, he retired, and he ended up opening up an animal sanctuary down in Florida.
For turkeys?
However, for a little bit of everything, I think. He ended up coming back and actually was in a couple of movies in 2012.
Whoa!
He was in a movie called 2056 Escape from Zombie Isle.
Oh, shit!
And he was in the sequel in 2013 called 2057... Return to Zombie Isle.
Hey, I was in a movie called Zombie Isle.
Yeah, it's not the Robert Elkins one.
Damn it.
Is he still alive?
No.
Damn it.
He passed away, and so did Brad Grittner, unfortunately.
All right, when did he pass away?
I forget exactly. I think it was 2014.
Damn. So, like, right after?
Right after the Zombie Isle.
Brad Grittner, I think, died before that. And by the way, I did want to mention the fact that the first movie that he did, Flesh Feast, which I also have, and is also bad and worth watching.
Of course.
It's also the final movie of Veronica Lake. He managed to talk Veronica Lake into the film.
Well, I'm pretty certain the director died right after that shot. He coughed himself to death.
You would have thought so. So, another interesting factoid is this movie was actually filmed entirely in Miami and the surrounding Miami area. It was originally rated X.
What?
Because of the violence. Because of the quarter.
The violence?
Yes.
Oh, I guess the slitting the throat and the blood.
Oh, yeah. It did have a lot of blood in it. I mean, for a movie called Blood... I keep wanting to call it Blood Feast.
Blood Freak.
Blood Freak. A movie called that, you would think, assume that there would be a lot of blood in it. And there was.
Right.
That's good.
So like I said, these guys had a history, maybe not necessarily together, but they worked with similar people doing all of these weird, you know, nudie cutie stuff. And Brad Grintner did a lot of these things that were called naturalist films, which was sort of, you know, before porns, before you could actually watch them legally, you could get away with showing nudity by saying that it was a naturalist film. So it was exploitation. And it was basically, you know, people doing regular house chores, but naked, or going to a barbecue, but naked. But it wasn't sex. It was just nudist.
Who goes to a barbecue naked?
I do. Don't judge.
Did you ever, we ever watch MASH where he's, you know, he's always talking about his nudist times?
Right.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it just wasn't porn. But
says you.
The thing about it is that some of the great thing about this particular DVD, which was from Something Weird, is the special edition, and they added on several of the short films that these guys did, and we got to watch one of them.
Yes, we did.
We did.
We sure did. We watched the one short by Brad Grint by Steve Hawks called The Eyes in the Wall.
Brilliant. Which wasn't very short for a short.
Oh, man.
It felt very, very long.
He was very skeezy. My goodness. But he actually worked on Joe Sarno's films in the 60s and 70s, sort of pre-hardcore soft porn stuff. A lot of them are real sketchy and gross.
What is it that you call them? Nudie cutie?
Nudie cuties is kind of the term for those.
I want to make a nudie cutie.
Yeah, Ed Wood did nudie cuties.
Yeah. Orgy of the Dead. And
So they're not really porn.
They're just a lot of naked people.
Porn. Yeah, or they dance around and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm making this fucking movie.
So, well, the interesting thing is that Steve Hawks directed the Walls Have Eyes as with a pseudonym, Gene Martin. So,
and he starred in it, right?
Yeah, he starred it, but he wouldn't put himself as the director, which I think is kind of interesting.
He put himself as the actor.
Right. The one we did not see is actually called Brad Grintner Nudist, also known as How I Became a Nudist. He actually made that movie with William Kerwin, who is a standby. He's been like in all of the Herschel Gordon Lewis movies. So if you ever saw like Blood Feast, you'd remember him.
Now, I wonder, because, okay, so the main guy's character's name is Herschel or whatever, and it's called Blood Freak. It
could very well be.
I wonder if he was that was his...
There you go.
Yeah, wow, that's really interesting.
Well, if we get a chance and we see it, it's interesting because not only is the Herschel Gordon Lewis guy there, there's also Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
Yeah, she was kind of an older lady with large boobs who ran around and used to run on the baseball field and kiss baseball players and get ejected. She did that for a while.
I am in love.
Oh yeah. A lot of fun.
The Kissing Bandit.
Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
That is amazing.
Oh yeah. And then there was another person in there named Maria Stringer, who actually was a nude model, and she's actually the star of that particular little short film, and she was in a whole bunch of stuff. Her big thing is that she OD'd several times on pills before she finally committed suicide not long after that movie was made, so it's kind of sad. Yeah, but as far as William Kerwin goes, you know, he was also in a bunch of TV shows. He was in Porky's 2.
Oh, sweet. The Next Day.
Right, The Next Day. So, yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff. If you go and investigate this particular film.
You have done your research, my friend.
Yes. I have tried.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite films. It's just so bizarre.
Absolutely.
It is definitely a bizarre movie.
So I guess we can talk a little bit about the plot.
Ah.
Okay.
The plot.
The story.
That thickens.
All right, so what, do you want to give it a go?
Me? Jonathan? Yeah. Me? Okay. Okay, it starts out with a guy who apparently can save a woman's car from being, turned off or whatever. And I guess, does he get invited to this party or something?
Herschel.
Yeah, so Herschel gets invited to a party, but he doesn't want to do any drugs.
Nope.
You know, no drugs is allowed. And this one girl, his new girlfriend, is okay with it. You know,
wait.
Like she...
I think I figured something out.
What?
The girl whose car broke down is the girl who took him to the party.
Right,
that's Anne.
He just met her.
Right, so that's not really his girlfriend.
So it's not his girlfriend. Yeah, so it's okay.
I misspoke. That's Angel. And then the one who actually gives him Swaggy Weed is Anne.
Right, but he wasn't committed to the first girl.
He wasn't committed to her. He just met her because he saved
her car. So that makes more sense.
So then she ends up... Well, anyway, that's later. I was going
to
say...
They go to the quote-unquote drug party, which consists of people handing around chopstick and sticking it up their nose.
And right. And steel pipe.
Steel pipes then that people steal from
with,
people.
With lots of black velvet tigers all over
the place. Oh, the tigers. Oh, oh, the tigers.
You love the tigers.
I am in love with the tiger paintings.
Oh, my God.
I would pay good money for one of those paintings.
So she hooks him up with a job, apparently, on a turkey farm.
As you do.
Where he's supposed to take experimental drugs or whatever and just try them out.
And eat turkeys.
And he takes by eating a turkey and taking the drug, I guess, right? Or,
right.
So he takes the turkey drug thingy. He ends up having some convulsion. And then we end up turning into a rabid turkey.
Gobbling turkey-headed monster, as you do.
Like a were-turkey.
It happens.
A were-turkey.
It happened to me last Thursday.
And then...
Like
gobble, gobble.
The girl that ended up helping him with the...
The science.
Ends up helping him with the drugs. Right. Actually gets him hooked on the drugs. Oh, we didn't mention that earlier. Sorry, we blew past that. He actually got hooked up on drugs. And apparently he got addicted to drugs. And then ended up going into this thing and had some bad side effects because he was addicted.
Of course.
Turns into the were-turkey.
Were-turkey.
So then he goes to talk to the lady, he goes to see the lady and show her that he's... still a turkey.
Goes back to Anne.
He goes back to Anne to show her he's a turkey now. He actually writes out who he is, gives it to her. Because, like, if somebody had just seen a person with a turkey mask on come into their house and not know who they were to begin with, you would be kind of freaked out.
But this girl's just waiting.
What?
She does.
She sleeps with him.
No. But yeah, before then, she's just kind of waiting for him to like write down like who he is.
Oh yeah, work out. Yeah.
Right, but like she's not freaked out at all that there's a man with a turkey head.
No, not only that, but she's starting to think about things like, what happens if we get married? What will the children do? What will the children look like? I'm like, what?
And he's just like, shh, let me turn off the lights and let's make love.
Gobble, motherfucking gobble.
And oh man, she says, oh my God. Like, and she was enjoying.
What does that mean? His turkey dick was amazing?
At best? That's what I assumed that meant.
The size of a drum leg.
His baster was all erect.
He is a master baster.
There you go.
My goodness. Anyway, so then, let's see, what else? So then. She was worried about Herschel earlier, so she sent some guys out. Then they come back to tell her that they can't find her. So she tells them that there's something going on. They don't believe her that something is going on. She doesn't say what. And then they see the turkey and
like not really shocked. They take it very well.
I know.
But then at the end of it, didn't they just they decapitated him?
They do.
And then ate him.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, the fact is Herschel goes on a rampage because he's not getting his drugs.
Yes.
So he starts killing everybody in sight that has anything to do
with drugs.
And he's got to drink their blood. So he's killing people. He's hanging them upside down. He's garroting them. And he can't actually get the blood into his mouth because the mask won't move. So he's just kind of patting his beak.
My question is, how can you tell? Like that. Like, how did you know? Because you've seen this movie a few times. The first time that you watched it, did you know that the blood was like the blood of the drugs? Like, is that what you got from it?
Yeah.
Because I didn't get from that. Like, I just thought he liked to drink blood.
Honestly, yeah, if you didn't say that, I wouldn't have got it.
Honestly, I was in shock the first couple of times I saw the film. But yeah, I kind of figured that out. I mean, I think.
Well, they were always high. One of those scientist guys?
Right, one of them mentions it in there.
When they talk like this, they're just like scientists.
The way that it's done, though, is so weird. You know, like he grabs one chick and she just doesn't, it's silent. She doesn't say a damn thing.
Oh yeah, kicking her legs and then eventually there's a scream.
If a turkey monster picks you up out of your car and drags you someplace, you think he might say something.
Or you're just like, this is my life now.
her scream was pretty delayed too. Like she screamed after, you know.
So but weird. They fixed it because it's a dream, so it can be weird
yeah.
and off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that
was a good save.
That's the big reveal at the end.
It was only a dream.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Oh my god.
But it did have like a Wizard of Oz kind of theme to it.
On crack.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like it's a really fucked up Wizard of Oz. But yeah, pot or map.
That's all he really did, right? We just smoked pot.
Lettuce.
And yeah, apparently.
The Devil's Lettuce. I love that.
That would be a great title for a movie.
The Devil's Lettuce.
Absolutely.
And it'd be about rabbit.
And what I really love, okay, so then he kills some guy, some like bald weird guy.
The rapist.
The guy with the chin. Kills that guy. And then all of a sudden, this weird man woman, this big, huge man woman.
I think it was a woman.
Oh my god, she's like.
That bitch could hop a fence.
His face was enraged at the sight of her, whatever he was to her, getting killed, and just goes after the turkey monster and starts beating his ass.
Oh yeah, she stabbed him in the face.
Stabbed him in the eye with a screwdriver. And then you get to hear his loop scream.
Gobble gobble.
Yeah, he didn't gobble gobble. He was actually screaming. Yeah.
Oh my god, she was formidable. I was frightened. She was she was the scariest thing in the film.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she was angry.
Oh my goodness.
And very scary.
He kills this other woman, and then somebody's watching, and the scream just loops over and over and over. It goes on for, what, 5 minutes?
Way too long.
Oh yeah, it's a long time. I'm having flashbacks. I think I now have PTSD.
Just kept going. It's like, oh, we get it.
Oh, we get it. You're frightened. That would be a great line of the serial killer in the room with him. We get it. You're frightened. I'm going to kill you anyway.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. You should put that in a movie somewhere. You know.
There's a
you're
lot
frightened. We get it.
That's a good line. That's a really good line. We get it. You're frightened. Shut up. It's not going to improve your situation.
I'm going to kill you anyway.
I'm going to make the man woman beat your ass.
I am going to wear your face.
So it becomes all a dream, but before then he's like killing and doing that, and then he gets, you know, killed and eaten and everything, and then it's
in that
a
really graphic scene.
And then
there's an actual turkey that gets killed.
Oh, that. Yeah.
That was pretty rough.
That was
like
that
faces
was
of death kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, that, I didn't want to see that, but
for like a few minutes.
Like, if you're a vegan or something, do not watch this movie.
And then it, like, focuses on the head for a while, and you're like,
sorry, no talking, like, less talking about that, more talking about the funness of the movie, because that was probably my least favorite part.
I wonder if that might have been one of the reasons why they got the NC-17.
It could very well be.
Yeah.
Violence, yeah.
That's very violent.
Yeah. It's not just violence, it's real.
Well, it may not necessarily have been, you know, the guy getting his leg cut off and then it's all hollow and ridiculous.
Well, that kind of reminds me of, was it Cannibal Holocaust?
Mm.
Had the
that
person,
guy.
And yeah, also didn't they rip off the turtle?
Yeah, but that got NC-17 too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that might be it too. If you put like something that's alive and then, because did it get the NC-17 right away, or did
it? It got an X. It got a rated X.
Well, yeah, X. This is before NC-17.
Yeah.
Because they used to rate movies X, and then pornos ran with it, X-rated movies being porno, and then they changed it to NC-17.
Yeah.
Well, there's one more interesting factoid that I think you guys might find interesting about.
Give it to me.
This is the only movie, apparently, horror or otherwise, to be completely endorsed by the Southern Baptist Convention.
Wow.
And it's because of the whole anti-drug.
Right. It's, yeah, don't do drugs.
They beat into your head throughout the movie.
And it's not just that. He's like, she's like telling him to pray and he'll be okay.
Oh
you know,
God.
Like, it's like, no. I mean, I'm a Christian and I'm very much
way
like,
go,
whatever.
Right.
But like, I'm sorry. If I turned into a were-turkey, I don't think God's going to, like, hear my prayer about turning me back human.
It's funny because at one point, Herschel, in his gobbling turkey-headed papier-mâché form, throws himself onto the ground and raises his hands in prayer like, why, God, why?
Yeah.
It's a big moment.
Well, you shouldn't have done drugs, Herschel.
Right.
Which all he did was smoke dope.
I know.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes,
baby.
That's all it takes.
So, yep, the Southern Baptist Convention thought this was a good movie for people to see because of the anti-drug.
That's amazing.
Message.
That's funny.
I know. So, yeah, amazing.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
It was, it's a very strange film. I mean, even by our standards, this is just a very weird, strange movie.
I mean, it's bad. It's bad. But it is very endearing.
It is.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of just weird stuff in the background that it's like, why are they doing it? Why did they choose this? What, there was a smiling ceramic pig in the rape scene. It's just like looking at the girl's butt. It's like, why are we seeing this? Why is that there? This is very strange.
He was going to get that bacon.
Yeah. But, you know, between that and all the black velvet tigers, of which there were many.
Oh, my God. I got to get one.
The 70s, the horrible, horrible 70s fashions, 70s decor, 70s hairstyle.
Music.
Mustache. Oh, the music. Talk about the music.
The band died like 5 times in that movie. Like, they're playing the song and then it just stops. And they got a new band to play next.
It was rough. But yeah, this movie stank of patchouli. It was so bad.
Oh, yes. Good reference.
Urine stains and patchouli. Horrible.
Yeah.
Which is the name of my new band.
Urine Stains and Patchouli.
Urine Stains and Patchouli.
I think we've named your band 10 or 12 times.
I've got a lot of bands. I'm like Phil Collins.
What was the other one? Needles and something? Needles and...
Needles and Semen.
Needles and Semen.
That's my gospel group.
Yes, that sounds very gospel-like.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a good...
Needles and Semen, amen.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be okayed by the Southern Baptist Convention.
No, the Northern Baptist will be fine with it.
As long as there's an anti-drug message in there.
Don't do drugs, needle and semen, amen.
Did you notice the quote-unquote drugs are extremely generic? They only really mention pot or dope or, you know, whatever once. Other than that...
But don't they do, like, heroin and...
I guess. That's what I assume is being injected all the time.
And I'm pretty certain they were actually injecting these people.
Oh God! At least one.
I don't know if they were putting drugs in them, but they really were injecting them.
At least
them.
One person had like a red injection site.
Was it this movie or was it the short that we saw where the person wrapped the stuff around?
This movie.
That was this movie, right?
And they did it really poorly, like as if they either didn't know how to do it or just they weren't really caring because it's not real. What was happening?
The old couple who decided to sneak out of their own house and go quietly into a truck and then just with no lights and then shoot heroin. And then the turkey comes out of nowhere and the one guy just like doesn't say anything. He looks startled and just leaves and the chick's just there and of course he just takes the chick.
It reminded me of very much a Sinister Urge. There's a couple of things like I guess that's the time, you know, it was a little after the 60s. We're in Sinister Urge. You ever seen that movie?
I have not.
Oh,
it's an Ed Wood movie.
It's really good.
And there's just like scenes where the person will like scream, you know, or something, and the person will come closer or whatever. Person will scream and scream, and the person will just keep, you know what I mean? Like they're not doing anything. They're just waiting for the person to come. And that's what this movie had. Like a lot of that. Like people just screaming, and then just the person keeps walking toward them instead of running or doing something else. Like
especially when they're screaming and their visual is their mouth closed, but the scream keeps going. Like that happened a couple times.
Or stuff happens where you would expect somebody to scream or do something and there's nothing.
Yeah.
Not a sound. Very strange. So I guess the next thing we could talk a little bit about is the acting.
Oh my goodness.
Because remember, these are students from the acting class, most of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
who was their teacher?
Brian Grinner. The director.
The director of the coughing fit guy.
Let's give a little thought to making our own story have a happy ending.
Oh, the coughing guy.
No, the coughing fit guy. He was the teacher.
The coughing narrator.
The coughing narrator who can't even read his own lines.
Oh, he's reading it off a script.
Right. Oh, he's just looking down.
He can't even memorize his own lines.
He's doing a Criswell on Criswell. I mean, my goodness. I've never seen anything so
awful.
Oh, and then remember the very first thing you see in the movie when the titles comes up is you see a boom mic hanging there on the side.
Right.
So it is just inept from the beginning.
And they weren't even using the sound of the bubbles that they were filming. So the mic was pointless.
Yeah. It was just like, oops, why did we have that in there?
But, like, Herschel is the main guy, and yeah, he just overacts. It's just so...
Oh, Herschel's brilliant.
I loved Herschel.
You loved the Spaniard. Talk to us about the Spaniard.
I was obsessed with this man's hair, his persona, his burns, the way he fucking kisses. It's like he's never done it before.
Or eating food.
Eating food. Like, he... This Spaniard... grew up in a petri dish because he didn't know how to do anything human.
No, he did not.
And when he does do it, it's so magnificently bad that I want to have his babies.
There you go.
He doesn't know how to do anything yet. He can magically start a car up.
Just by walking towards it.
Just walking towards it.
I'm going to try that.
He did a lot of magic. He would just appear out of nowhere.
I don't know. He could see through walls.
He could see and walk through walls.
Mm.
My goodness.
Oh.
But his acting... Well, we were talking about the acting.
Yes.
And you were talking about the scientists.
The scientists literally are what acting should be.
Yeah.
Like, each one of them had their own problems and their own... You had the Jersey guy that they only filmed the side of his head because they love the chops.
Ugh.
You had the man with the glasses, who his beard did more acting than he did.
Reacto man.
And then you had the head honcho in the Dickie shirt, who just literally, like, walks in and just says, fuck the movie.
Right, right.
Mm.
He would take pauses that would last, like...
Seychures,
I think. No, he would take pauses that would make Shatner blush.
That's a pretty good
And then the other ones were, I mean, they would do, like, you know... Oh, you dumb bastard.
Oh, yeah. There's
three people that said that. In like the, you know, most unconvincing way possible.
Yep. Oh, my goodness.
That bad.
The scientists, though, I did enjoy them. They were
very good lays.
Yeah, they were pretty funny. You know, was it the boss, you know, who came in or whatever?
Like, oh, yeah, he was fantastic.
Oh, I loved him. He was actually the, you know, if we're going to talk about, like, great acting or whatever, he was better than... Like, you know, he's up there with Herschel.
Probably.
You know, as like one of the better actors in the group.
Moody, no one compares to Herschel.
Ah, true. That's true.
Herschel is a golden turkey god.
He's the golden Spaniard.
The golden Spaniard. An autobiography by Jonathan Moody.
For sure.
All right. Well, let's see. What about you? You like that. Remember, we had the two hairy guys that were helping Anna. There was the one. You liked the one guy.
The blonde guy. Yes, he had the most dreamy eyes. You'd always look at his eyes because he didn't know where he was.
No, he never did.
He was looking around. It's like, is this a movie or am I getting it? It was Pizza Hut. He didn't know where he was. And he smoked the red joint.
Right, that's true.
They had different paper on it.
It looked like a birthday candle, as I recall. Yeah.
He could have been actually smoking a birthday candle.
They couldn't.
I mean, they had $25,000, so they could have gotten one.
Honestly, I thought the man woman was pretty good too.
Oh yeah, she was a strong actor. Yeah.
I was scared.
Like, yeah, no, she. I mean, hopping that fucking fence.
And the reaction on her face.
Yeah, oh, no, man. She was excellent.
She was ready to kill.
I believe she was the best actor in the entire movie.
There you go.
Because you can't count the Golden God because he's not acting; he's just experiencing life in front of you.
100% true.
He's just Herschel. It's like, you know, if you walk up to him, he's just, I'm just Herschel. And you're like, okay, that's who you are.
Well, I guess the next thing we can talk about is the wonderful, exceptional, magnificent special effects that went into this. The I'm sure that's where the budget really went. I guess we could start off with Herschel's mask. The incredibly lifelike, convincing turkey mask.
My wife is a makeup effects artist. Oh, I used to think she was good. Then I saw this mask and realized she's been doing utter crap for years.
Oh, dear. You're going to get in so much trouble.
I will.
Well, here's the thing. We could make this movie. We could reshoot this movie. All we need is a little paper mache and a little paint, and we can make that goblin turkey-headed mask.
Oh, yeah.
That's like five.
The hard part is actually to making this movie again, but trying to be bad. I think that's very difficult to do. Like, I think these movies only become classics because the people who, or one or two of the people making it, actually think that it has a chance of being good. And that's how the bad movies become great.
Yeah.
And how the great ones become classics.
Right. But if they're trying to be bad, it never quite works.
Right.
Okay. So I have something about that. Okay. So you were talking about, like, the Golden Turkey Awards before, I think, before this podcast or whatever.
The turkey theme.
Yeah. And to go with that, but this wasn't a Golden Turkey because you had said that this one had not actually been discovered yet, right?
Like, not that it was, I know. At least these guys hadn't seen it. Michael Medved and...
Right.
I imagine they played it in a back alley, shooting it at a trash can. And that was what they used as their backdrop.
So maybe this movie wasn't meant to be seen. You know, maybe something weird found it and was like, whatever, right? Maybe it wasn't like people weren't like, oh, here's my movie that I made, you know, or whatever. They were just like,
well, I'm pretty sure this was meant to be seen. This probably played at a whole bunch of drive-ins down in Florida for a while. Now, whether it had a wide release... I doubt it.
Yeah.
What do you think the reviews were back then?
Oh, I'm sure they were, you know, abysmal.
Really?
I'm like, sure.
I'm wondering, because it was a different time. Maybe people are enjoying it while they're smoking weed.
You know, a turd is a turd is a turd. It doesn't matter what century that it's in. It's going to stink just as badly.
This is very true.
You think Birdemic will stink very badly in 20 years from now?
Yeah, Birdemic is a classic turd.
Birdemic.
Well, you know, keeping with the turkey theme, like
yeah,
the,
yeah.
And they should have done Turkdemic.
Turkdemic.
Well, we had the great terms, the Turkening and the Turkinator. And
look, that's the sequel, buddy. That's the sequel. What is it? Blood Freak 2.
I
want to
make this movie.
Blood
really
Freak
do.
2. Was it Turkdemic?
Right, there you go.
So the last time I was on your show, I came up with a movie that I'm working on now called Shark, You Son of a Bitch.
Yes.
I don't believe I have a movie based off of this one, but I will for damn sure steal those screams and put them into one or two of my films.
Those great loops.
Yeah, oh. That's got to happen.
That's gotta be that. Yep, I love that. I love that idea, and I love that you're doing Shark, You Son of a Bitch.
Yeah, we originally were gonna call it CG Shark.
Bad CGI Shark.
But there was another movie that came out that had a very similar title, right. And I can't remember what it was called.
It's called Bad CGI Shark or something like
that. That was Shark. I was gonna call ours CGI Shark.
And then I think they did it called Bad CGI Shark.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, we're not gonna do that. But then I was thinking, how many fucking movies about sharks they do the reference, you know, you son of a bitch from Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, ooh, shark, you son of a bitch.
How many people do bad CGI turkey movies? Come on.
Is there a CGI turkey movie?
God, there's got to be.
So far, we haven't seen any.
The only thing I can think of is in South Park, they had some cutout turkeys that kill people.
That doesn't really count, I don't think.
No.
You know, I'm talking about like real horror movies, like, you know. So
I bet there's something out there.
Somebody.
Probably on YouTube is like a short film.
We could absolutely do this.
Yeah, and put it out by Thanksgiving.
I will wear a turkey costume. I'm just throwing that out there.
All right.
I will do this.
You were saying you don't think there'll be another one, but like based on this or whatever. But
the turkening.
You could do the turkening, John. Just think about it.
The turkening.
The turkening. You know.
What about Where Turkey versus Yeti? This could work.
They're both
out in the wild, right?
Where turkey?
Where turkey versus constipated Yeti?
That sounds like a winner.
So yeah. So to go back to this movie that we were just talking about,
this movie,
it does have a weird turkey. Like that is amazing.
Except that it's just the damn mask.
Right.
That's the problem.
But see, okay, look at all those movies that took place. Like every freaking, you know, like Wolfman You know, the original Wolfman. That was just a guy in a mask or makeup.
At least he had hairy hands or something.
What are you going to do with the...
He also had... Lon Chaney Jr. had the feet that bent backwards.
Right,
though.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
So they had a little bit more going on.
They tried a little bit more. I just don't think they had the money. I mean, they $25,000 that they got from somewhere. I'm assuming some church gave them a bunch of money.
That might be it.
And they just went with what they had.
And they used it on heroin.
There you go. Or at least fake heroin. But yeah, they could have made a turkey. Imagine if he had had a full turkey suit with feathers and a waddle.
Oh man.
How awesome would that? I could see him like clubbing people with his waddle. That would be so awesome.
That'd be great.
And then he's waddles.
If you could possibly make this movie even better, I mean, that would be the only other way I could think of.
And then he waddles.
Right. So there was some gore effects.
Yep. I love that blood color.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That
70s distinctive slasher blood color.
It's so bright, and then you can clearly see it's coming from a tube.
Oh yeah, they all had a scarf that they didn't have before. and then there was tubing inside.
Yes, yes. And then the one guy who gets his leg cut off, it's clearly a hollow piece.
Oh yeah, so they can pump blood through.
Oh god, yeah. No. Yeah. But
he should have just walked it off.
Yeah, he tried.
The special effects were pretty bad. In fact, just about all the production values were bad. Sound was
well,
bad.
Hold on real quick to go back to the special effects before we skip on.
Okay.
There was just one thing I forgot to mention, which Johnny actually really liked, which was the blood effect, the dripping blood in the beginning of the movie.
The titles.
The
titles
were nice.
The best part.
Cool.
The best part of the movie, you know?
I would also argue for the low budget that it was, they did put some time into the effects.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because...
Not a lot.
But sometime. Yeah. And I just wanted the turkey.
The turkey.
The Spaniard turkey. To understand that if you put a bucket under the slashed throat, it will catch the blood. And you can use it later. I wanted to tell him this so bad.
And you can use a straw since your mouth won't open.
Or a bowl. Anything can catch the blood. You don't have to keep doing it so quickly.
And then, like, pat it onto your beak?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was just rubbing it in.
Yeah. But other production values suffered, too. The sound was really bad. You really couldn't hear half the people half the time.
Right.
Day for night shooting, there was a lot of that.
Yeah, which they fucked up royally. Because I actually thought it was night at first, but you pointed out that there were shadows. Yeah. Because it was so dark, I was like, they had to have done this at night, but they literally shot it during the day and darkened it to the point where you can't see it.
There's a lot of scenes that, I mean, are completely black. You can't see anything.
Oh, yeah.
Just bad.
Just a void of acting.
And, oh, God, what about the focus?
Oof.
The camera work was...
I'm not sure there was focus.
So many things were out of focus and blurry. I mean, you lost count. It was amazing.
That describes this whole movie, is out of focus. You know, like it lost focus.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it was like it was so many times that like it was out of focus, and they, you know, obviously there had to be an editor somewhere in here who just would look at it and just say, you know what, fuck it,
let's keep it.
But there were jump cuts throughout the rest of the movie, so like they could have just jump cut it, but they decided not to.
Decisions were made, and they weren't very good ones.
Heroin.
Heroin.
I'm pretty certain they were sticking people those needles.
The director did that.
Or maybe there was just turkey gravy in the syringe. I don't know.
Turkey gravy.
You know, inept is a word I don't use very often, but it really does come into play in this particular movie.
You don't use it often when you're describing the movies that you pick?
Yeah, well, this one's more inept than most.
Mm.
It's really, really bad. It's fun, though. I don't know much about the crew... But I have to wonder if a lot of the cast were students. You have to wonder a lot that some of the crew must have been. They must have been.
Oh, sure. Anybody who we could get to show up.
Have you seen Dolemite Is My Name?
No.
Watch that movie. It's very much like Ed Wood.
Oh.
Outstanding.
Yes, but it does have that kind of thing where the crew is just people from college who haven't done anything. And, you know.
So it's like a mockumentary?
No, it's like... It's the real life story of the. It's written by the guys who did Ed Wood. It's pretty much like Ed Wood if Ed Wood was the guy from who made Dolemite.
Nice.
And everything.
I want to see an Ed Wood Dolemite movie.
Yes, that's the movie. So watch nice. That because you will love
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
Well, there is one guy we've kind of scrubbed around, and that's Brad Grittner himself, the narrator. And yeah.
What?
You're going to leave that in there?
Keep it.
Keep it.
It was brilliant.
He decides to have this omniscient character as a narrator who pushes himself into the film on at least 4 or 5 occasions.
I thought it was like 10.
Oh, my God. And
you know what? That is what I take from this movie. Shark, you son of a bitch. I'm going to narrate. I'm going to keep cutting in to the movie like with a really bad shot.
And he's clearly reading it off a script.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
That's what so you should bad. Do. For real.
I'm going to do it.
I love it. I would watch that.
Halfheartednarrator.com.
And then you have to cough.
What did you say?
I said halfheartednarrator.com.
Is that a real thing?
No, but that's what the movie was.
I hope that's real.
I was excited for a second.
I was like, half the narrator.
www.halfheartednarrator.com.
Uh-oh, somebody better steal it, take that before it...
Oh, yeah, one of these guys probably just bought it.
Man, I'm just an bought idea it. Machine.
I'm an idea
you
machine.
You can't give it to TikTok, you know.
But yeah, so he's terrible. Absolutely terrible. And then as the movie goes on, he's clearly having problems with his cigarette, which he's sucking down every 5 seconds. And he just starts coughing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no second takes. None. They must have been under a horribly tight schedule.
Or they just couldn't develop more film.
God forbid they take a second shot of anything.
Mm.
Can you imagine what the shots were that they didn't take?
Oh, yeah. That would have been interesting.
Back to the short film we watched earlier, where it was like, it felt like it was all done in camera, you know, and stuff. So I wonder if a lot of this was done in camera because they just couldn't afford to do a lot of stuff.
No, because the first film we were watching was Super 8,
right?
And this was 16,
mm-hmm.
And it looked like it was edited.
Oh, okay.
The Super 8, the reason why I knew they were just doing it in camera is that you see the reel just end. Like, you see the things go white,
right?
Which meant they shot the whole reel. And they just kept doing it every 3 minutes.
Right. They probably did a thing like what Ed Wood and some of the other guys did back then and bought ends.
Yeah.
You would buy just the end of an actual roll of film.
To save money. Yeah.
Because they were cheap and you would just use it.
We almost did that for the Plan 9 teaser trailer.
Really? That would have been cool.
But we ended up just buying the reels. But we almost bought ends.
You actually shot on film.
Yeah, Super 35.
Wow.
That's nice.
That's great. That's amazing because a lot of people don't do that now.
Well, now there's no point now. But back then, when you're submitting your film and you're like, it's shot on Super 35, they were more interested in buying it because you spent the amount of money on it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't quite the quality of the picture, but they realized if you spent $50,000 on film or whatever it is, then they would be more interested in like seeing your work.
Right. Which maybe that's what we need to do is shoot another actual movie on film. Maybe people actually pay attention to it. You know?
What you should do is shoot like one shot and then say you shot your film on Super 35 and DV.
No. Oh.
There you go. It's not cheap though.
Oh, I know.
It was $500 a take.
Wow.
That's expensive.
Yes.
That's a pretty big Kickstarter right there.
When we decide to reshoot this film, we can do it in Super 35.
Oh my God.
You could be the narrator. I'll be Herschel.
I'm definitely doing the narration for Shark, you son of a bitch. Like that, like we're just going to call this like the Indie Film Cafe movie. Like there has to be something in there because every time we do this, I get more ideas for the movie.
It's like we fertilize him. We're just fertilizer.
You're just planting seeds into my brain. The way Chekhov got a worm.
We watch these really crappy movies. We bring them to Johnny, and then Johnny has great ideas for better crappy movies.
I have so many more I can share with you. So many more.
Oh, God.
And they're all wonderful in their own weird, stinky way.
Maybe oh,
not
sure.
Not quite as this one, because there ain't a whole lot of gobbling, turkey-headed monster movies out there, sad to say. But
yes, there needs to be more.
This one I absolutely, positively had to share, and since... You know, Jonathan picked the movie last time, mm-hmm. Snow Shark. I had to dig.
No, this was fantastic. Thank you. Like, this is something I will talk about forever.
I only wish Mariah had been able to stick around for this one.
I think she would divorce me if she, like, saw any more of this film.
It might have made Thanksgiving a little bit more awkward.
No, yeah.
Oh God, no, no, that, and no, no. Nobody should see one of that one scene with the turkey. No.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, that was rough.
That was rough. I closed my eyes.
It was definitely like a Faces of Death scene.
There was a lot of weird turkeys. I love the part where he's eating the experimental turkey in front of the other turkeys.
That was brilliant.
That's
horrible. So moral. So and then mean. You hear the turkeys like make noises because they're like either they know what's going on or they're just making noises and then make it look like that. So oh, that's awful.
And like he doesn't know what to do with like objects, you know. You see, there's a one point where he's collecting turkey eggs.
Oh yeah, he's like tossing them and listening to them.
Like,
is the egg saying something to him, or is he seeing if there's actually like a chicken inside of it?
The eggs are talking to Herschel. You know, we're going to get you when this movie's done.
Yeah.
Amazing. What an amazing film.
I think we pretty much talked this thing to death.
Yeah.
You know?
I've learned something about myself.
I know. So why don't you tell everybody about the stinkometer?
Okay, so we've gotten to the point now where we need to brush off our stinkometer. This is the part where we rate our film on a 1 to 10 scale, by which 1 being the smallest score with the least amount of stink, and 10 being the most amount of stink that you could possibly award, and 5 kind of being in the middle, and if you were feeling subtle about it, just like this film, very subtle,
oh, yes.
You could do a half step, like say a 6.5 or a 7.5. And then we will total up that score and see how it stacks against the rest of the films of this particular season, which...
That's a good idea.
There have been some doozies.
There have been some bad ones already. You know, throughout
some
the whole...
Ones, some bad ones, mostly bad ones.
Yeah, let's just say right before then that the first show episode of the season...
I started it off with a bang.
Yeah, you do not want to see Actium Maximus.
Yes, you do.
It is...
Actium Maximus?
Actium, it's a trauma, like, I think we talked about the last time.
War of the dinosaur plastic puppets, basically.
Yeah, it's just awful. You would...
That sounds wonderful.
It's wonderful, it is. 90% of the dialogue is garbled. It's complete gibberish.
Oh, nice.
No idea. And what little bit you have no context, so you don't know what they're talking about. It's dreamy.
Anyway, let's go back to this and do the ranking. Since we let our guests go first.
Yes. 1 to 10. Where are you putting this, John?
Stinkiest is 10?
Stinkiest is 10.
8.3.
What? Wow.
8.3.
Okay, we do 8. We 0.5 or, you know, or.
But
or,
you could do 8.5.
7.5. I'll go the other way.
Okay. This is a 9. This is definitely a 9 for me, if not a 9.5. I'll probably go 9.5 now that I think about it.
I think the reason why I went 7.5 is that there were parts where I was entertained, as bad as it was.
So you're saying that your view on the stinky stuff is that as long as you're entertained and not bored by the movie, then it doesn't get a higher rating.
Yeah, no, if I was watching something that just had no redeeming quality. Like there is a movie that we've watched on Stakey that is the worst film we've ever seen on Stakey.
Ooh, what is it?
It is called Crash from 1997. No, 97. It's like 77.
Oh, are you talking about the Charlie Band one?
The Charlie Band one.
Yeah.
That is the worst film we've ever seen on Stakey.
Oh, I was gonna watch that.
I need to see it.
It's really boring. Like,
is it?
There's no redeeming qualities.
Exactly, that's what I see.
The trailer looked good.
You're generally not going to see, we try not to do movies like that. You know?
Yeah, that was just hard to deal.
For me, this was very entertaining, but that's kind of why I brought it.
Right.
But the fact is that they massively fail in every possible way.
Oh, yeah.
In this film, which is why I give it a 9.5.
I was going to give it a 9.5 as well. And I thought you were going to give it a 9, and I was going to give it a 9.5, and you was going to give it a 7.5.
I flirted with a 9, but no, it's too bad.
Yeah, trust me. After you've seen some of the stuff he's had, you would definitely put this in that kind of... Well, I mean, no, I understand your 7.5.
No, I understand it too.
Yeah, it just had moments that I'm going to talk about the movie later, and I'll probably say it in a very endearing way. It's like, it's a terrible movie, but it had this one thing that was really funny.
And I said from the beginning, this one was near and dear to my heart. I loved this movie for a long time.
But if it was just plain boring.
No.
Then I would go. I'd go higher.
Yeah. No, I'm not gonna bring you something like that. Trust me.
No, we don't watch boring movies.
So you don't watch Dark Stone films, is what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. No, actually, we haven't done Dark Stone yet.
Darkstone-ent.com.
The reason we haven't done it yet, I don't think, is because I feel like in a way we would be a little biased.
Oh, sure. You wouldn't be able to make fun of it the way you could others because, you know, well, I know where you live.
No, I mean, yeah, true. You actually, you stayed in my house. So you've stayed in my room.
I was in his bed.
You were in my bed.
I had some moody.
I think we discussed this on the last podcast.
Well, it's a momentous occasion when I sleep in a man's bed.
But
were you wearing a goblin turkey headed paper mache head at the same time?
I wasn't when I fell asleep, but I woke up with one.
I knew it.
Oh, God, no. He did. I was staying in my parents' room while you were staying in my room, and I remember waking up to, like,
fapping.
You would watch The Conjuring at the
house. Oh, yeah, we watched it. Nice. Jared and I watched it the night before.
And you put the, the Miss Me written underneath to try to freak me out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was nice. I was like, good touch there.
Yeah.
We feel like we would be a little biased. However, with that being said, I do have a lot of filmmakers who we do have had their, Chris Seaver,
right,
I know.
Right.
Brett Kelly, I know. I've had on my radio show.
We've done a bunch of folks.
We've done a bunch of folks that we've either reviewed their movies or whatnot. So we've been, we have, but...
I just don't know that it's really particularly stinky.
Yeah, your movies aren't really that like that. You know, they're like
but
meant to be kind of fun.
You're kind of better.
You're kind of talented, That's what we're trying to say.
You've elevated yourself out of the stink.
Hi, I'm John Johnson, and some people say I'm talented.
And even if, like, you want to say stuff about, like, Skeleton Key.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those Skeleton Key movies, even though they're goofy and silly and Shadowhunters.
However, I have not seen this yet.
Ooh.
Should we explain what you found for your podcast?
So, when we were coming up here to the D House, we had a little extra time. So we decided to go to Plan 9 Music, which is what you do when you're in Virginia, because that's the place you go to cool movies and great music and all that. And went tiptoeing through their used movie section, and I found a brain damaged film. Which happens to be John Johnson's Shadowhunters.
Yeah, he literally just found it today in the store.
$2?
What's that's
steal?
That's a steal. That's like giving it away, movie.
All right, well, I guess we're at the point now where we're going to wrap up.
Yeah, let's just, before we wrap up, let's just say, what are you up to now, Johnny?
Yeah.
My God. All right, so, I've got a movie coming out for Christmas called The Fright Before Christmas.
Cool.
It'll be on Amazon for rental. It won't be on Prime. It'll be like 99 cents. Mm-hmm. I've got Manos, The Hands of Fate trailer for the teaser trailer that we're using to raise the money for the movie. That is available now on YouTube. We've got The Dark Net, Rifters, Seventh Guest the Series. These are all in the can and will come out sporadically through next year.
Fabulous.
I got another movie called D-Mock that comes out next year. All in the can.
Are these any of these going to be Blu-ray?
I would imagine. I would imagine they all will get a Blu-ray. Yeah.
Now, are you going to sell them on Amazon, or are you going to sell the the Blu-rays, or are you going to sell them like yourself?
I think we'll put the streaming on Amazon, but we will sell the Blu-rays ourselves.
All right, guys, so now it is time to wrap up the show. Thank you very much, Johnny Johnson, for hosting us here this week.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun.
All right, well, hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Every week.
Like to torture you again a little bit here and there.
I love it. I want to do it more often.
You did not torture him that bad, though.
No, he didn't. He did.
This was going to be pretty...
No, I enjoyed myself thoroughly, and I'm dead serious. Let's do it once a month. I'm totally down.
Okay, all right. Sounds great. In the meantime, thanks everybody for listening, and we will see you again on the flip side.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.